What's going on, football fans? It's me, J.R. Clark, back again with another Pound for Pound ATL Live. Joined as always by my main man, Toby D. Toby, what's going on, brother?
Another loss.
Hey, you got your three in a row? You was looking for three in a row?
Just in the opposite direction.
Oh, okay. Now, look, now I seem to remember that I was watching over the weekend this awesome game. Team in red and black, they are kicking butt. They had a score of 52-17. It was an amazing, amazing game. And then I said, dang, this is the Georgia Bulldogs, not the Falcons. Son of a gun. I said, this is the wrong red and black team. Nick, he says, where's Jonathan? Jonathan had a family matter pop up tonight, so it's just me and Toby D. We're going to go ahead and, I guess since Jonathan's not here, I got to make sure to get the sound thing
the
going.
The horn.
On.
Got to get it going now.
I got to make sure I find the right one. I think it's this one up top. We'll see. We're going to find out. So it's not going to be as quick because normally Jonathan hits the button. All right, Fred, we appreciate you greatly, and I'm going to hit the button.
Fred.
He says, tipped us $10, which we appreciate greatly. He says, I think we can win the rest of our games if we start Ritter. Saints, Jets, Bucks, Panthers, Colts, Bears, Saints are winnable. And if Arthur opens up the playbook, Ritter has us in position to win. Okay. Absolutely love Fred's optimism. Fred, if there's one thing I can count on this year, it's Fred's optimism. There's an aspect of it that I agree with. All these games are winnable.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, these last three games have been winnable. There's some stuff that we're going to talk about as we get rolling. But there's a part of me that somewhat agrees with what you're saying about opening up the playbook. And we'll get into this here in a little bit, but I didn't want your comment to get too far gone before we got there. So I wanted to make sure to read that. Willie, we appreciate you greatly, Willie. He says, his ballers, Landman has been a pleasant surprise. Yep. Fallers, Grant, honorable mention, Bijan, side eye glance, whoever is our passing coordinator. I'm right in that Smith has not learned from his mistakes, not as of yet. So I could spend this whole show like just doom and gloom, and I really thought about it. I really felt like it earlier, and I still might get into it depending on where the conversation takes us. But I'm gonna try not to do that. Millie says, JR, to me, it doesn't matter if AS is fired or not. Just bring in an OC who can use the weapons correctly. There's some truth to that in a sense, right? And again, as we move through the show, I'm glad y'all are bringing these up because these are some of the topics that I want to talk about. But now, for everybody's favorite part of the show, since Willie done kicked us off, it is ballers and fallers time.
Dun, yes, sir. Dun, dun,
dun. All right. So, pound for pound's ballers is Bijan Robinson. 95 yards. Actually had a rushing touchdown. A catch for 11 yards. He looked like what you were expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, well, duh. But to me, this, speaks to a deal where when made the focal point, he produced.
Mm-hmm.
So now the question is he going to be made the focal point for the rest of the season? I think this is something that we're going to get into here in a little bit, but I think Arthur is getting to a point where he's running out of choices.
Right.
And running out of options. But I was glad to see when fed at 22 runs. Yeah, he had 22 rushing attempts for 95 yards and a touchdown, 4.3 yards average, and 17, his longest run was 17 yards. And he had one reception for 11 yards. This is what you thought you were getting when you drafted. And I think hopefully going forward for the rest of the season, this is what we get. I really like Algier, but when you made the decision to draft Bijan at 8,
mm-hmm.
that should have then made Algier RB2.
Right.
And, you know, if you want to use our, you know, Bijan and Algier at the same time, like for some creative plays, so be it. But the running game should be the focal point. So then, do you agree, disagree? What do you think?
Use the man. You took the man 8th overall, man. Listen, I love Algier and how he contributed to the team. 1,000-yard rusher. We hadn't had that in quite some time. But this is why you went and got Bijan Robinson, man, for his versatility that he brings to the table. He can help any quarterback have some success. So you need to go ahead and feed the man. Now, he does need to stop these fumbling because every now and then he gets the fumbles and he wants to fumble the football when he pretty much managed that football and took care of it in college most of his career. So I'm not sure how the NFL thing and why it's causing these fumbles that he's having. But nonetheless, you need to feed the man and let him do his thing.
Right. And Algier, even in this game, showed himself to be like a great, you know, number two.
Yeah.
9 carries for 31 yards. You know, you're averaging 3.4 yards a carry there.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that is a, that's a healthy number two. Even with, you know, Patterson getting his 3 carries and, you know, a couple targets. That's a perfect usage. Like, to me, this was the first game you finally used those guys in a way that I thought they should have been used most of the season. It just sucks that it took a week 10 to finally see it. But nonetheless, Bradley Burnett says, Richie Grant getting cooked all game or all day. Yep. And Richie Grant is our faller because whatever we thought Richie Grant was going to be, he has not turned into that guy at all. He is constantly getting cooked. He's constantly, missing tackles, taking bad angles. Like Trey McBride, for him to make the statement, hey, if that guy's on me, throw it to me. Like, if you're Richie Grant, how you come back from that? You know what I'm saying? Like, how you come back from that? Like, at this point, I kind of agree with Nick. Start Helms. Might as well.
Man, I tell you, boy. It's just sad that now the defense is slipping the way they have in the last three weeks, man. They've been giving us so many explosive plays. They can't tackle well. They take bad pursuit angles. I mean, it's been ugly to watch. And a lot of that I really contribute to their losing. I think guys are checking out and they're just not as excited about winning right now because they don't believe they can win with the preparation that they're getting or lack. Getting each week.
Right. Here's my thought, and see if you agree with this or not. In these last few weeks, the offense obviously has not been able to sustain drives. And if you can't sustain drives, that means your defense is out there. Earlier in the season, even though we weren't all like we were having red zone turnovers and all this other junk, you were moving the ball down the field. You weren't going 3 and out.
Right.
At one point in time in that game, you had the Falcons with like in the third quarter, I think it was, had a field goal and the rest of it was punts. So that means, you know, you're looking at like 3 and outs, 4 and 5 and out, you know, kind of deal. And your defense is having to play so many more plays than they have before. Trying to look at it, Kyler Murray had 32 attempts. James Conner, so that's 32 passing attempts, 16, that's 20 some odd. Yeah, you're looking at like close to 65-ish plays.
Which is about the average in the NFL, 64 plays
right.
On average.
So if early on in the game, the Cardinals were going that they were doing good. Early on in the game, the Cardinals were going 3 and out. We were moving the ball, all this other jazz, you know. But then you get in that fourth quarter where we can't sustain any drive, or third quarter where you're not sustaining anything, and now the defense is getting gassed. So that's, to me, one of the issues. Now, William's saying, like, Grady gone and A.J. Terrell getting cooked, too. A.J. had a good game this past game. So I know he's been up and down. Jeff Okuda and A.J. had a pretty good game, all things considered. But that's our Fallers and Ballers for today. Let's see. Moving on to what – here's the issue, right? What is the identity of this team, right? You hit a stretch. I think this is where somebody talks about, like, you know, bullying works. I've seen that online, especially when it comes to Bijan, right? When somebody asked him and Arthur was like, oh, you know, he's a rookie, da-da-da-da-da. We finally feel like we can, you know, feature him or whatever. And somebody said, oh, bullying works, because we've been hollering on Twitter for, you know, weeks now. Why hadn't these guys been getting used? There is a thought here that has me thinking, all you heard all offseason, especially after you drafted Bijan, was that the Atlanta Falcons are a run-first and run-heavy team. And I think there for a while, and you see, tell me if you feel this way or not, that it almost felt like Arthur was like, everybody's expecting us to run. Now we got to throw the ball. And we're going to throw the ball 40, 50 times a game. Or, you know, 38 and 42 times a game. Well, you don't have the guys to do that. Like, you don't have the signal callers to do that. You don't have Patrick Mahomes. You don't have Joe Burrow. You know, you don't have prime Tom Brady. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you're going away from what is or what should be the identity of your team, which is running the ball. Is that something that you saw or you agree with?
I'll tell you what. I think since the day Arthur got here, he was trying to prove that he's more than just a running offensive coordinator. That just hasn't panned out well. I mean, we had Matt Ryan throwing the ball 50 sometimes a game, and then you're trying to have other guys like Mariota. You cut his back because he couldn't throw the ball. We knew that right. Coming in. He wasn't going to be good at throwing in more than 20 attempts last year, and you dialed that back. And then now you're trying to go back to that again with Desmond Ridder. Had him throwing the ball on an average of 30 times the first five games or so, and he's just throwing picks all over the place, fumbling the football, and then you're trying to get Heineke to do the same thing. So I really think that Arthur Smith is still attempting to prove that he can call some passing plays, and it's not working, man. I'm sorry. It's just not working. Do what you do best. Run the doggone football, bro. That's what you do.
Yeah.
So do it.
Exactly. Yeah, there's an aspect because, Jarvis is over here saying Kyle Pitch never been drafted in 21 to start a rebuild in the beginning of the regime. There's an idea there that, okay, Arthur Smith loved his two tight end sets, like loved, tight ends all, to be used that way. And you draft Kyle Pitts and he's not the traditional tight end. Right. Because like Bradley follows it up with, does Pitt struggle with classic tight end routes? Did we draft a one trick pony? I feel like he only works in more spread out offenses. That's what I'm saying. Like you drafted a unique tight end. And I feel like you drafted this unique tight end feeling like you could use him in a traditional way. You've seen Janu have more success this year than Kyle, but he's done it out of a more traditional way where he's in line, blocks, fakes, blocks for a half second, and then releases. Kyle doesn't sell that well because he doesn't block very good, right? So, I feel like when he goes, he just don't do it well enough. One thing I saw on the Scotty Miller touchdown that I thought was interesting is, you know, they finally ran that shallow mesh concept. And they ran it down there at the red zone. And Scotty Miller standing wide open. And, you know, got the touchdown. But they ran it with Kyle Pitts. That's an expensive decoy. That's a high-value decoy, right? And so the question then becomes, how do you get him more involved? We shouldn't be asking that question at week 10. When I look at what Trey McBride did against us, 131 yards on 8 catches, that should be what Kyle Pitts is giving you. Right? You know, that should be what Kyle Pitts is doing for you. And he's not. So at this junction, if we get to, you know, hit the end of his contract, into his rookie contract, to me, he's looking like an OJ Howard.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to see it, but I think that's exactly what he's looking like. Yeah. I think that trade talks are going to get more heightened as the season goes and next season, all season. Because I think Janu Smith ultimately is his replacement, and they'll just go and draft another tight end that's not as expensive, taken in the first round to join Janu Smith. Because to me, they pretty much made their decision that Janu Smith is a better fit in this offense than Kyle Pitts is. And I just feel like they've already pretty much thrown in the towel with Kyle Pitts. I wouldn't be shocked if Kyle is traded in the offseason somewhere where they can get a nice big-time defensive player in the place of him to try not to lose too much value on the pick. Because if Kyle Pitts goes to another team, he's a first-round pick from somebody. Somebody's going to give up first round to get him. It may not be an early first round like he was drafted in, but somebody's going to give up a middle to a end first round for Kyle Pitts. So I think you trade Kyle Pitts in the offseason while you have the opportunity to do so, because he's going to go to another team that's going to know how to use him and fits in their system better than what he's fitting here, because he doesn't fit here to me.
Right now, I easily could see two teams trading for him. You know, as far as that goes, it would be like you pair Kyle Pitts with Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
At the end of his career, because Travis Kelce, got maybe another 2-3 years left.
Yeah.
And so you pair them two together for a while, because you can use Kyle outside and having Travis do more of the traditional stuff. And then, or don't you think if Eric Bieniemy stays in Washington, that he'd love to have a tight end to feature way he did with Travis Kelce? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fred Butts tipped us another $5, which we appreciate. He says, I don't think they believe in Tyler. They had more energy with Ritter when Ritter scored the go-ahead touchdown and how happy the team was for him. There's an aspect that I agree that I don't think that that Heinicke gave them that pump they were looking for, or that pop they were looking for, that they hoped a steady veteran presence was going to give. Right? Because here's the deal. What ultimately got Ritter sat down was the 8 turnovers in 3 games. Like, he was moving the ball okay. You convert a handful of those red zone turnovers to touchdowns, we're winning more games, obviously. And B, you don't get sat down.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think they wanted to necessarily sit Ritter to go to Heinicke, but he was giving them no option. I think Heinicke, by getting tweaking his knee or whatever he did in that fourth quarter, opens the door for Ritter to come back, and it opens the door for them to allow Ritter to come back.
Yeah.
What's your
this is It's sad, man. I mean, we don't have no quarterback. Let's just go ahead and call it what
no,
it is.
We,
I
no,
get it. I get
we definitely
it.
don't.
Ritter's back, and I appreciate Fred Buss, because he is so excited about believing in Desmond Ritter. I get it, Fred. But Ritter's not good to me. I don't care what y'all talking about. Heineke really is no better. But right now, here's where we are. We're at a – we got a half a QB between Heineke and Ritter that's playing on the field right now. So let's just be honest. We got a half a QB playing on the field with both of them together. You know what I'm saying? And it's sucking on both ends. We just – we're not good. And now the defense is giving up explosive play. They can't tackle nobody. So we're at 4-6. I don't care who's in there right now. The truth of the matter is we are – losing games with we've lost three in a row games right now, and it don't matter who the quarterback is, we're getting sacked still, even if Heineken's in there. So, play calling to me is an issue because they're still calling plays that's getting the QB sacked too much. And that was when Desmond Ritter was in and when Heineken's in, so it's not making a difference what QB is in, it's still losing 10 yards when they're getting sacked. So I'm right now, I'm just at a place right now. I don't know what this team is. They don't have an identity. Well, Arthur Smith has still got to figure out who he is after all this time. You've been here for three seasons. And I tell a friend this, right? I always tell her that you don't let people dictate what you do. Arthur Smith does this. Okay. As soon as the fans say something about Kyle Pitts is not getting enough balls, what they do? They want to feed, force feed them. And then now you hear about the fans talking about Bashaun Robinson is not getting enough carries. Y'all need to get him more carries. So what does he do? He gets him carries. But if you notice, when he does that, they don't win games, period.
No, so, he's I do not like the idea that he is as easily swayed as he is. And it's so funny that the past 2 years for sure, he spent a handful of weeks, you know, being, you know, snippy with the media, you know, with the comments about the, this ain't, you know, fantasy football or, you know, what have you. And then he goes on, it seems to always follow with a rip of, you know, losses. And then he has to come back and eat, you know, humble pie, you know, which he, the part that got me. And then tell me if you agree in chat. Y'all tell me if you agree. When I really started to worry is the Minnesota game. Talked about, well, we got to win this game. Man, you're 9 games into the season. Talking about you got to win this game. Then you lose. Okay, so it's a must-win game in your mind, and you lose. Okay. Then you have your quarterback come in and basically compare this game to, like, the Cardinals game to their Super Bowl. This is a 1-8 Cardinals team. They've won one game. And you're talking about, I understood what he meant, but that's the mindset. The mindset is, like, this we got to have this game. You know, and you go out and lose to, now this is 3 games in a row. You lose to a rookie debut QB. You lose to a QB that had just got to a team 3 or 4 days before. And you lose to a QB making his debut off of an ACL tear. And you let that said QB run all over you. So it's definitely not a good look. You go into the bye with more questions than you got answers for. You're all right, JD1, if that's like, I'm not even going to put your stuff up there. You can move on to a different stream. Okay. I'm glad you're Go Raiders or whatnot, but yeah, you can move down the road, dog. Because, like, that's where this franchise is headed, is mimicking the Raiders. Which is, we ain't you know, we're definitely heading towards that ain't nobody going to take us seriously ever again for a while. And part of that is because we need a QB.
Yeah.
If you don't have a QB, you're not going to be taken seriously. You know? So, all right, let's see. I want to get into some more. Last couple of weeks, we've done a lot more me like us talking. I want to hear some from the chat this week. Fred, again, we appreciate you, Fred.
Fred.
Hey, he likes to hear the horn, I think is what it is. I think it's what it really is. All right. He says, we are 0-3 without Ritter. Well, one of those games is with Ritter. But he says, we're 0-3 without Ritter. Was in the first place with him, so what you want? Arthur Blank said Arthur Smith is not going anywhere, so that's what it is. Okay, to speak on that aspect, that was a report that, or that was a comment that Jeff Schultz of the AJC had put out there that that Arthur Smith has the backing of you know, Arthur Blank for 24, as long as, more or less the way he put it, as long as he didn't lose. I'm going to try to find that. Hold on. I'm going to see if I can find it. Jeff. I guess I should just follow Jeff Schultz. I don't know how to spell Schultz. Anyway.
I say S-C-H.
Hold on.
U-T-L-Z.
S-C-H.
U-L-T-Z.
Yep, you got it. All right, let me see. Good job. I have the spelling capacity of a third grader for y'all who don't know. If it wasn't for autocorrect, boy. Let's see. Okay. This was on November the 13th, so yesterday. It says, Arthur Blank is not going to fire Arthur Smith this week or next week or likely anytime soon. The Falcons owner is expected to let the season play out, and that's the right move. But Smith knows he has to start winning. So that's the deal. Yeah, because he also brings the point that Quinn was fired 3.5 years after the Super Bowl. The next 4 years, he went 10-6, 7-9, 7-9, 0-5. So Arthur Blank is patient, and you know, they said they had a 3 year plan, you know, or they were in year three of their plan, right? And part of me wonders how much you know, how much leniency is he getting for the Deshaun Watson debacle to myself, because that to me like really threw a wrench in some things. But that picture that I put up on that thumbnail says a lot. You saw that look on Blank and Terry Fontenot's face when they were looking down for that press box. So that said a lot to me. He might get 24, but I don't know how much more than that. The real question then becomes, if you give him 24, do you give him 24 with a different QB? Do you give him 24 with a rookie QB? You see what I'm saying? Like, that's the part where I'm not concerned. I kind of am with William at this point. Let me get my sounder. Appreciate it, William. He says, we are not playoff ready and changes are coming. Part of me thinks is like, if you don't get a major push and start getting consistent in something, like, to me, if you're not, I hate to put it like this, man, if you don't win the NFC South at this point, because you got seven games left. You got 2 games left with the Saints, one with Carolina and one with the Bucks,
right?
Like, you still have the ability to win the South. And if I'm Arthur Blank and we get to the end of the season and I'm looking at, let's say, 9 wins, but we're not in the playoffs, and those nine wins, and it still looks a lot like these past few games. I don't know, dude. I don't know if I could bring him back myself. I know I keep saying, I even put it out there on Twitter that I am not ready for a change, not because I want Arthur Smith to stay here per se, but I know what that signals. If you're changing coaches after year three, whether it's the right call or not, that means you're setting your franchise back, because now you bring in another guy. Let's just say everybody's favorite hot topic right now is Ben Johnson. You bring in Ben Johnson. Does he stick with Ryan Nielsen as his DC? If he does stick with Ryan Nielsen, or if he doesn't, let's say he doesn't. No, I want to bring in my own staff, right? Bring in all my own guys. Now you got to start getting guys to fit what he wants to do. Somebody's telling me to read Super Chat. Am I missing some stuff? Because me and you were talking where I'm running my mouth. I'm just seeing the same stuff. I don't know. Anyway.
Is somebody in there shouldn't be in there?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out. William says, read the Super Chat. Let's see. All right. Okay. Anyway, I don't know what he's trying to say. We'll get into this here in a minute. But here's the deal. Like, you bring in Ben Johnson or Slowick, the other hot OC from Houston. First of all, what makes you think that they're going to be a good head coach? That's my number one question. Like, there's no guarantee that they're going to do any better. I'm not saying that you should stick with Smith. I'm just throwing this out there, right? So that's number one. Number two, how much time are you going to give them to start producing?
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Like, you start that cycle, and that's how you turn into the Raiders. That's how you turn into the Browns. That's how you turn into the Jaguars. That's how you turn into insert whatever team here. I am worried, obviously, that if we end the season with the same 7-10 record or even worse, that, you know, that it's that you should get rid of him, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's what my, because I agree with William. It says, you know, the dude is not consistent at all. Right. And it's, Huckle says, there's no guarantee that they would do any worse. Correct. Right. But you start running that cycle of running coaches through and not necessarily giving them enough time to build their team. Because it all depends, like, your view on Smith and his job is going to, like, be filtered through the lens of what you think about the first 2 years, you know, with the cap space and everything else and the Deshaun Watson stuff. Padre says, miss anything? Nah, we're having a good time, Padre. So let's see. Tabig says, Smith's contract is up in 25 anyway, so you're not losing anything if you do let them go at the end of 24. Yeah, you're not, like, money-wise, you're not losing much. But again, the question begs, like, okay, Toby, we're bringing back, right? Do you ride with Ritter? Say that, you know, that he was a rookie basically this year and see if you can progress? Or if you're Terry Fontenot, are you going to go with the idea of this coaching staff developing a QB, or are you going to go try to get somebody? What would your plan of action? Smith comes back in 24. What are you doing at QB?
You need to find yourself a veteran presence. I mean, right now, I don't know who that's going to be, but you need to go out here and find yourself a veteran presence that can play for this Atlanta Falcons team. Because right now, I don't trust Arthur Smith anywhere near any of those quarterbacks coming out in 2024 to develop any, especially if they were going to still here when he come back in 24. I don't trust it. You need to get a good veteran presence that we can put out there that you believe can get the job done. Because right now, what you working with right now with that half a QB that we working with two guys, it ain't working.
Right.
It ain't working.
William, appreciate that. Let me get to the thing. Hello. He says the defense gave up on Arthur Smith. I don't know. I don't know about that yet. Like, they've had three bad games.
Yeah.
That much is for sure. Mm-hmm. These, you know, the games, you know, you lost early on. You lost, you know, Grady Jarrett in the Tennessee game. Had a tough time without him against, you know, the Vikings. And then you didn't have Onyemata or him in this game, and it showed. So, they got to adjust to that, obviously. But I don't know if I'm ready to say anybody's given up on the coach, because I don't hear the kind of talk that I was hearing out of the Raiders guys. Like, the closest you got was Drake London said, we got to figure something out because we don't like losing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everybody's like, Matt Ryan would be the best QB coach for Ritter. And then Kareem says, might as well bring back Matt Ryan. I don't think Matt Ryan, he ain't going to do much for you right now.
Mm-hmm. No.
Fred had a good – he had a comment I wanted to get to earlier because I want to – okay. He says – part of me says stick with Smith. This is only his third year as a head coach, and he's still young as a head coach. Yes, there's a part of me that agrees with that. Like, there's part of me that says if you don't ever give these guys a chance to figure it out, you know, but there is an aspect of it that you have to, like, kind of hit – you got to show some progress. And that's the part that worries me is, once again, we're sitting here 4-6 again. You know, you're making a lot of same, like, I'm not seeing progress.
This is what I'm talking about.
And that's the part that worries me.
That's the part that I'm talking about. We're not seeing progress. It's the same stuff all 3 years. And right. This time it's worse.
Yeah.
We've only had one 2-game winning streak, and that was at the beginning of the season, guys. We've yet to see, and this is one thing I was telling y'all from the jump, why I called this team and deemed them a 10-17. Because until Arthur Smith was able to show me he was able to win more than 2 games in a season, I could not believe he can go on a 3-game winning streak. And we have yet to do it since Arthur Smith has been the coach of the Atlanta Falcons. We have not won 3 in a row yet since he's been here in 3 years with the Atlanta Falcons. Let that soak in for a minute, y'all. We haven't won 3 games in a row yet since he has been the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons.
Now, here's another worrisome aspect, if you want one. This is the second time we've had more than a 3-game losing streak. We had a 4-game losing streak last year. So that's the... that's the part that concerns me, right? And, you know, KJ says it has to be a coach that can establish an offense or defensive identity if you're going to start over. Commit to a coach that you believe in. Changes may be made across the board. Possible. Millie says, do we make a move for Jameis? Or he says Tannehill would be the only vet available without a trade. That's the part that worries me. Dude, if they bring in Tannehill, I'm out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hate it. I'm sorry. Like, if they bring in Tannehill, y'all going to have to watch another show. I'll tell you that right now. I will. I mean, I'm already teetering on like reverting back to a casual fan. Just for my heart, head, you know what I'm saying? Like, but
wow,
if they bring in Ryan Tannehill, no dog, you might see me as a guest on somebody else's show.
Man, boy, that's just, yeah. If that's the veteran presence they go find, then we'll have to suffice.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you say, man? I mean, I would rather Jacoby Brissett myself if we got to go with a veteran presence.
Yeah.
But
like, don't get me wrong, E-Mac. I ain't going to go root for no other team. You ain't going to ever hear that. You ain't going to ever going to hear JR say, oh, I'm going to go root for my other team. I don't have no other team. Like, I figured that out Saturday. And the reason why I say that is because I was on a company fishing trip, right? We do this every year. We go down to Steinhatchee, Florida. I figured out how to get the football game on the TV for the guys so that we could watch the Georgia game. So I was like, shoot, I'm going to sit here and watch the Georgia game, right? These past couple of years, I've just been out cursory, like, oh, okay, Bulldogs are doing good. Awesome. I don't want to see them lose. Glad when they win. So I'm sitting here watching the Georgia game with diehard Georgia fans, right? And I see it. I see it all over their faces. Every time something like doesn't necessarily go Georgia's way, they're all like, oh, you know. And then in the overly excitement, I get to see what I look like when I watch the Falcons game from a different perspective, right?
Yeah.
And as I'm sitting there watching, I'm like, okay, good. You know, I'm cheering that Georgia's scoring touchdowns and that they're winning, that they're getting sacks and all this other jazz, you know. But that emotion isn't there. Like, I'm happy to see it, but that fervor, that fanaticism is not there. Like, when I'm sitting up in the stands in that Houston game, like, about to throw myself off that second story, you know what I'm saying? Because, yeah. So, I get it. No, I can't root for anybody else. It's the Falcons or nothing. That much is for sure.
Well, I love my Falcons, and I just got a nice brand new blanket today with Falcons blanket on it. So if they can't do nothing else, they're gonna keep me warm when I need to stay warm. So
hey, look,
they can't seem to win. Hey, with crap.
It's not like I'm gonna sit here and get rid of all this. Okay. I'm still rocking, still supporting.
Man, right. I'm gonna support my team now. I'm a diehard Falcons fan. I'm gonna wear my Falcons colors now.
But if they bring in Tannehill though, oh God. Right. William Amy, we appreciate you. He says, it's Arthur Smith's fault for not playing his players in preseason. Oh Lord, we're still in preseason.
Here we go.
All right. He has never developed a QB for the job. His ego costs money. Him and rely on the defense. Okay, sure. He's never developed a quarterback. I'll give you that. Even his 2 years up in Tennessee, Tannehill had already had a good amount of time in the league when he got a hold of him. The preseason, I think people put way too much on preseason. All those years that Tom Brady played up in New England, Belichick didn't ever play them in preseason. So those three games, like, sure, if you want to say, hey, at least play your O-line so they can gel a little quicker, you know, that type deal. But, oh, King says, you're going to be sucking your thumb crying under that blanket the way we going, Toby.
Hey, Doc. Listen, I love my Falcons, man. Win or lose, man. This is what, our seventh season losing?
Oh, yeah, and since we've been doing
so,
this.
Yeah, so it's all good, man. I love my boys regardless. You see me in the streets, you're going to still see me repping a piece of the Falcons somewhere.
All day.
If not a whole outfit, you know what I'm saying? Because I love my red and black, man. That's my team, do or die player. I'm going to ride with them until the day I hit the grave.
There it is.
I might even request to be buried in some Falcons gear if I leave here before God come get me, dog. Because I love my team. Now.
There it is. B-Lo says, we just need a play caller and a good QB coach. I want to talk on that for a minute. Because it's obvious, like this, okay. It seemed like we hit a 4 or 5 game stretch, maybe starting a little bit before the Houston game, where Arthur, as you were talking about earlier, was like, all right, look, we got to pass the ball. You know, because at that point, teams were absolutely stacking the box.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you know, we got to pass the ball because we got to soften up this box, right? And so you go on a tear where you're passing 30 and 40 times a game and you're passing for 300 yards and 200 something yards, but you're getting all these interceptions, right? Because I think your concepts aren't necessarily they're ones that work well with a good run game, right? They're ones that work well when you do have the team sucked up for the run. But when you now flip the script and try to pass more than you're running, those concepts are longer developing plays, so on and such, and they're getting your quarterbacks hammered. You know, that kind of remind me of like the middle years of Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those longer developing plays kind of deal. So what I would like to see happen this offseason, if you're going to stick with, you know, Arthur Smith and you're going to run him back in 24, then you need to bring in somebody that has, you need to bring in a better OC. Because right now, you can't point at anything and tell me this is what Dave Ragone's doing. I'm not blaming Dave Ragone. I'm not laying it at his feet. But if the 5-5 Bills had a sacrificial lamb of Ken Dorsey, when you saw progression in the play calling structure, all that jazz, you know, he's not the one that has 12 men on the field. He's not the one throwing picks, but he gets scapegoated, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they're willing to do that, why are you still hanging on Dave Ragone? It doesn't make much sense to me. He, to me, definitely looks like he cannot pull double duty. He can't pull the duty of being the QB coach and the offensive coordinator. I know he doesn't call plays, but setting the table for Arthur, he is not as good as it was last year when you had Charles London and Dave Ragone. You see what I'm saying?
Because
even with Mariota and then Ritter at the end of the season, the table was getting set a lot better than it is this year with just Ragone. Now, I know you got Matt Schaub in the building doing something. I think, right?
He's yeah, floating around. Like what?
I don't know. He's floating around the building somewhere. You know? So, wow. I think if you ride out the rest of the season and you say, okay, if you go to Arthur and say, all right, we're going to bring you back in 24 because we still like your mentality. We like your philosophy, like what you're trying to do. But you got to get this offense fixed. Like I would straight up tell them, look, you're going to have to bring in somebody to help you. You obviously can't do it all by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got Jerry Gray to pair with Ryan Nielsen. And for the most part, that's like you're getting a little bit down right now. But what do you expect? Like not what do you expect, but it's not a total surprise, right? First year of them guys working together, they're going to have to work out bumps and stuff, right? So you're going through some downs with them, but you feel like you're going to turn the corner. You need to add somebody to that offensive side. And whether it's a Ken Dorsey, whether it's a guy who's chilling right now at the NFL Network in Pep Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to draft a QB, I really would like you to bring in Pep Hamilton.
Yeah, he was a guy I was thinking about mentioning a couple of weeks ago, but I just didn't bring his name up. But yeah, Pep Hamilton to help out the QB and even be the OC for that matter for me, because, you know, David Gone is not giving us anything other than him being a good friend with Arthur Smith. That's it.
Right. Like Huckle says, who's the genius that thought it was a good idea to bring in Ragone in the first place? Didn't they see the Chicago offense?
Arthur Smith did, because right. That's his friend. And he felt it'd be somebody familiar that knows him and what he wants to do. But he's not doing a good job at it.
No, he's really not. And I think that if Arthur comes back, to me, that's one area. Like, I would love to see them make a full-time OC of Joe Brady. Because Joe Brady has some awesome, you know, passing concepts. So if you were to like when the season ends, if you were to make an offer to Joe Brady as a OC, I don't know if the Bills, I don't know how their season will end, if he'll stay up there with Josh Allen. But if you bring him down here with his passing concepts and then pair that with Arthur's running, because the part that got me is the Cardinals were a below average pass defense and you were only able to pass for 70 something yards. Like, what are we doing?
Wow.
So, like, fine. Let's lean into your strengths, right? Let's lean into your strengths. Let's have, you know, bring somebody in who could help with a passing situation. MJ has an interesting, says Joe Brady should have been hired instead of Arthur. There were rumors he was pairing with Terry, but I don't know what the hell happened.
Arthur Blank happened.
Right, he was young.
Arthur Blank made the decision that he wanted Arthur Smith, and that's why he hired him before he hired Terry Fontenot. That's what happened.
But I say this though, if they do let Arthur go and keep Terry, it would not surprise me one bit if Joe Barry's your next head coach. Because,
yeah, it wouldn't.
Because then you would be able to keep Nielsen.
Mm-hmm.
Easily, because they all work together in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you Joe would be like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Billy says, bring in Joe and keep Ragone. Make him wash uniforms or something.
As a punishment.
That's right. Yeah, somebody suggested Todd Haley. No, that's good. I'm with Bradley.
Yeah,
here.
I'm good on that.
You know, Todd Haley is a nightmare, man. My dad's a Steelers fan. I saw it firsthand. Yeah. The Steelers couldn't wait to get
I'm good on that. Yeah.
All right, let's spend the last few minutes talking with chat. We haven't done that much. Let's see. Slim says that's because Arthur said he wasn't trying to pass the ball a ton. He was trying to exploit the Cardinals' weakness, and that's running up the middle. Shoot, their weakness was passing, but that's one of their ways. I mean, don't get me wrong. He ran for damn near 200 yards, but it wasn't enough. Like, that style doesn't work well. I'm fine with being a run-heavy team, but you have to be able to, you know, you have to be competent through the air as well. I don't, you know.
Right.
Let's see. Oh, crap. Reggie says, Ragone can receive a first-class ticket out of town. Yeah, I'm with that for sure, basically. KJ says, Eric Bieniemy as a head coach possibility. Bieniemy is interesting. Like, he's doing some good things up there in Washington with Sam Howell, but he's had a number of interviews and
hadn't gotten hired yet.
Right. And there's something about him that is rubbing owners the wrong way. You know, as far as, I don't know if it's his the plan that he has, who he wants to bring in, how he wants it structured. Is he trying to be a coach slash GM type? Yeah, we ain't hearing none of that stuff, but he's had a number of interviews, so I don't know.
I'm going to take a wild guess at why he's not getting hired.
All right, what you got?
Because a present situation that happened with how some of the players was complaining about how he talks to them and stuff like that. Eric Bieniemy is an old-fashioned, traditional coach. And in today's NFL, you can't, because you're dealing with these college kids, you got to come at them at a different angle. It's just like when, you remember Brian Cox talked about how he had to come at,
Hageman.
What's his name? Not Hageman, but he had to come at,
Beasley
differently.
Yeah.
See, he just slipped my name because he slipped my mind because he didn't do a lot except right. that 1 year. But he said he had to come differently in psychological with Vic Beasley, you know, because Vic just wasn't responding to a lot of the cursing and stuff like that he was giving him. And these college kids are different today, man. You gotta have a psychological degree when you're dealing with these college kids today and how to reach them. Okay. And Eric Bieniemy is just not that guy. Okay. And that's why I think a lot of managers and, you know, owners are having an issue with bringing him in as a head coach because he doesn't have that type of mindset when you're dealing with these young guys coming out of college. And I think that's what the issue is.
Yeah. And, you know, to Biggs, like Eric has too many skeletons in his closet and MJ follows it up with, he has a lot of legal issues he went through in college. I don't know if that, the college stuff, like he's not like he's a 30-year-old dude. You know, he's an older guy. So I don't think the college stuff would still be following him around. Cause if that's the case, he wouldn't be in the league at all.
Right. Right.
You know, but I do think it has a lot to do with, you know, cause Ron Rivera has already had to, you know, comment on like how he handles the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so he may just come off as too abrasive.
Mm-hmm.
And as we have already seen with Arthur Smith, when he gets a little, you know, a little abrasive with the media, how the media and their fans already be like, everybody loves to pull out that Keith Armstrong, you know, you're not good enough to be an a-hole
right.
line. And so it could be that type deal. I don't know. But, okay. Chris had a good question. He said, if Caleb and Drake are off the board, who's your pick to lead the Falcons for the next 10 years? I haven't done like a ton of like digging into any one person yet, but like the hot names are, you know, obviously Bo Nix from the Ducks and then Michael Penix Jr. from the Huskies. Jaden Daniels is becoming a hot name out of LSU. I really like Jaden Daniels' game. I just worry about his size. He seems to be like smaller in frame. But yeah, like I haven't gotten there yet. But I do try to watch the guys I just named, Daniels, Nix, and Penix, anytime I get a chance. Because I really like Penix. He had some rough times up in, I think it was Nebraska. See, he was somewhere else before he went to Washington. But I feel like, you know, he's got a real good deep ball. He can move pretty accurate. And then same deal with Bo Nix. So right now, those are my two choices, either Bo Nix or Penix. Toby, any feelings?
I don't trust none of those guys coming here to be coached by Arthur Smith. So I like Bo Nix, man. I mean, he's really proven himself since joining the Ducks and coming from Auburn. He's played better with the Ducks, actually.
Oh yeah,
so
big time.
I like him, man, but I just don't trust Arthur Smith with any of these guys. I really don't.
Yeah. So what's your thoughts on like if Kyler Murray is available? Like, because, well, you know, because the Cardinals are going to have the first overall pick. They have a new regime. Depending on how they go, they may want to reset the, you know, and get a Caleb Williams or whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, I like Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray don't stay healthy, though. That's
yeah,
the thing.
That's –
And
yeah.
He's a big baby. And I we can't have babies on the team.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I don't, like, as far as, like, veterans out there goes, it's like, to me, the ones who are going to be available are Tannehill, which I don't want. I don't want Tannehill, like, period. Then there's, like, possibly Justin Fields. He might be available. You know, the Bears have already played, what, 4 games without him this season. They're going to have a high draft pick because of Carolina. So, like, he might be available. But outside of them two, like, Kyler Murray, Fields, and Tannehill, like, none of those three guys really inspire me. Like, you could bring Fields in if you want to sell tickets.
Mm-hmm.
But I would hope you'd want to bring in a guy who's going to do more than sell tickets.
Yeah, give me Jacoby Brissett. Right now, that's my early veteran favorite. I think he still has something that you can work with and it would work for this offense. Seeing what he's done with a two-headed monster team with Chubbs, you know, and Hunt. I'm going Jacoby right now early. That's my early favorite to bring in as a veteran to challenge someone for the starting job at this point.
Oh, did I forget your last super chat, Fred? Crap. Hold on. I thought I read it. Oh, okay. I don't think I did. All right. Let me get the brand up. Bam. He says, if Ridder plays great to finish the season, he will be the QB next year. If he doesn't, we will have a new QB. If Arthur's here and say Ridder plays the way he was playing minus the turnovers. You know, if they get to where they can get a healthy, we're going to run the ball, you know, 25 times or 30 times or even 35 times with all the guys that we have, splitting up those 35 carries between 3 guys, Bijan getting the majority of it, and you have Ridder throwing 21, 22 times a game. And if he can limit the turnovers and he's moving the ball like he did and we're scoring touchdowns, I can easily see them going with Ridder for 24. And if that goes down in a disaster, then everybody gets crap canned anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to have to look good for the rest of the season. He's going to have to. Because if you don't, you're going to have to answer the question of, you know, and your offense is going to have to look better. You're going to have to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like Arthur said, if you don't want the pressure, you shouldn't be in the business.
Right.
A lot of coaches say that, and it's the damn truth.
It is.
They have to figure it out. Like straight up and down. Like they have to. If they don't, then they're going to get got.
Yeah.
At some point in time, you have to go, okay, this isn't working. We have to try to figure something else out. There's enough examples of what does work in this league that you can look at and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You have some decent pieces in, you know, Pitts, line them up out wide. Quit trying to treat them like a normal tight end. Line them up in the slot or out wide. Start designing plays to get him open. Start designing plays to get Drake London open. Feature your guys. If every now and again you want to throw some crazy mesh where Scotty Miller pops open and is standing open in the end zone, awesome. But you should be, your offense should be running through Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and Bijan Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Period, mm-hmm. Point blank.
Yep.
That's who it should be running through.
Should be. Don't take a rocket science to know that you drafted them guys high.
That's right.
Top 10 all 3 years.
Let's see. Bobby says, JR and Toby, I like the guy that we got. If we give this guy a chance, we will be ahead of the chains concerning the QBs. Are you talking about Ritter? I think maybe that's who you're talking about. I mean, look, if he can limit the turnovers, that's the biggest thing right now. You can overlook Josh Allen's turnovers because he may throw a pick, but you know the next time he could be standing on the 10 and throw a 70-yard bomb and get you a touchdown. He's shown the consistency to do that. But they have to figure out they have to figure out this offense. They have to get their guys that they've drafted, that they spent picks on, high draft capital on. They have to get them to be the focal point of the offense. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why you took them. Like, Scotty Miller shouldn't have more touchdowns than Kyle Pitts. Like, straight up and down.
Wow.
There's an aspect of what Bradley says, like calling for Arthur to get fired this year or even next year is what leads to football purgatory. That's the part I want. That's why I keep saying I want them to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Because you need time to build. You need time to – I don't care what coach you are. Like, you need some time to build. And I want to see him build. I want to see him succeed because that means the team's succeeding.
Yeah.
Ghost Pepper, our good buddy Ghost Pepper says, what's good, fellas? You know, just venting.
What's up, Ghost Peppers?
He says, JR and Toby, I'm with Toby on this. I don't see a young QB developing under Arthur Smith. Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if Tannehill is a Falcons next year. That's Arthur Smith for you. That's, like I say, that's my biggest concern is, you know, Tannehill, who himself gets dinged up and gets banged up all the time. I don't know the last time he actually finished a season. And yes, he looked the best under Arthur, but I just don't think Tannehill's good enough to get you where you need to be now, especially with him being in his late 30s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's see, Ryan Tannehill. Currently, he's 35 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to bring in a 35-year-old quarterback. Like, I'll bring in a 35-year-old quarterback on a year or two, and then immediately that same year, I'm drafting a quarterback. Probably in the first round. So, I don't know. All right. Well, I think that that's going to do it for us. How about you, Toby? What do you think?
Yeah, man. Think so.
We did it. We were able to talk about this team for an hour. Oh, yeah, we made it. Exactly. Let's see. I don't think we're going to do a show next week. I think we're going to take a break with the team, especially with it being a holiday, Thanksgiving next week. I just don't think that we're all going to be busy going back and forth with family and stuff like that. So I think it'd just be easier. We'll be back after the bye week. Hopefully, talking about a Saints win or like a win over the Saints, rather. Because if they don't want to get canned, it has to start now.
Yeah.
Straight up and down. Y'all can follow me on Twitter if you want to. I'm at Grim1128. You can follow Jonathan on Twitter. He's at Jonathan M. Holder. As he would say, come by, say hi. Toby.
TobyD1991.
We appreciate y'all joining us. And as always, Falcons fans, rise up.
Rise up.